Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Good morning and welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. You can be sure to listen online at kpcg.fm to any of these radio programs. I believe there's now 11 or 12 of them, and they're all definitely worth listening to. Well, today's a very special day for my wife and me. This is our four-year wedding anniversary, and a good friend of ours sent us this lovely anniversary prayer. I just wanted to read that to you quickly here. It says, "May you always have God's presence and His perfect will to guide you, a future bright before you with the one you love beside you, a marriage that is everything God meant for it to be. This special prayer is offered for your anniversary." And then it also quotes here 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14, which talks about everything you do being done in love. So we're very thankful for that kind sentiment today. Can't believe it's already been 4 years. We have a daughter who turns three next Tuesday, and then another baby due beginning of August. So a lot has happened. We've been married longer than the Trump presidency. So much in the world has even changed dramatically since we've gotten married. We've had the opportunity to travel quite a lot, to have quite a lot of memorable experiences. And certainly there's nothing better in physical life outside of course, our spiritual relationship with God than marriage and family. So happy anniversary, Anya. Well, today we're going to talk about a really important subject, one that perhaps I have alluded to a little bit in the last couple of weeks. But it is an interesting concept that perhaps we should think about more than we do. And it's about walking with God. Walking with God. This is a subject that always makes me think about the late educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong, and how when he went to Jerusalem, he was always arm in arm walking through the streets with the mayor, Teddy Kollek. Great friends, chatting about everything, picking up where they had left off the last time they had been together, as if they had never been apart. And when it comes to our relationship with God, we should be much more eager to have that kind of a walk with God relationship. This type of arm-in-arm relationship. Far more so than with any of our best friends. With even a spouse, like I was talking about. Walking with God, that is where we deeply desire to spend time with Him, to talk with Him. Remember that when you talk with somebody, you talk, but you also listen. And that's a big part of walking with God, not making it a one-sided conversation. Mr. Armstrong often talked about this subject because he lived it. He walked with God. He said how he changed his entire daily routine. And by doing that, he changed his entire life. He did learn how to put God first. He prayed without ceasing, which is what it says to do in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Praying always. And of course, prayers do always have to come to an end. So there is a spiritual intent to a verse like that, where Everything we do throughout the day, we do it in an attitude of prayer. We are in a constant prayerful attitude. And we do pray to God, not just the bulk of our time in the morning, but throughout the middle of the day, before we go to bed. We pray to God instantly whenever we need his help in a tough situation. We pray on the spot. We pray on the go. Just constantly in contact with our Father, our close friend and mentor, God the Father. And what a change that can make in our lives if we just try to do something like this. I have plenty of experience where maybe I'll pray first thing in the morning and then I'll go home at 5 o'clock after work. And then I realized I didn't really spend a whole lot of time thinking about what I had prayed about that morning. Or maybe I didn't pray any extra throughout that middle portion of the day. And it is a bad feeling knowing that I've been apart from God for that long. If you think about it, God is the only one who can be with you at all times. Even if you're married, even if you have children, even if you spend a lot of time working with certain people, they're not there while you sleep, or they're not there with you constantly while you work or everywhere you go. But God is. God is always there. So if he's always there with us, it sort of does make sense that we would frequently speak with him. He's always there, so why not speak to him as well instead of engaging in deafening silence? Walking with God is a huge matter of priorities. Mr. Armstrong wrote about this in the Plain Truth About Healing booklet, available to you for free at thetrumpet.com. He writes here, walking with God means spending time with him instead of with the material things of this world. It involves spending time in study, discovering the deep truths of the Bible, and meditating on the principles and laws. It means praying to him for deeper understanding, wisdom, direction, and faith. Peter, Stephen, Philip, Paul, common, humble, ordinary men themselves, all had that power, the same identical power Jesus had, because they lived and walked close to God and were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a powerful point, a powerful example for us. All of these Bible legends, these Bible heroes who did have earth-shaking power available to them in their lives because they did walk with God. They were filled with God's Holy Spirit. Now, if you're listening to this and haven't been baptized, if you're not a member of God's one true church today, the Philadelphia Church of God, there is still a lot you can do to perhaps take action, to maybe come closer to achieving this kind of a relationship with God. You can still pray. You can still give your very best in terms of your time, your energy, your effort, in your prayer, in your study. And the more you have that persistent, consistent contact with God, the more you walk with God, the more possible it is for God to work with you and to open your mind to more truth and to perhaps show you where changes can be made to make your life better. But just think about that power of the Holy Spirit made available to us when we do choose to walk with God. Only God can call us, John 6, verse 44. Only he can bring us into this way of life. But he's not going to force us to. He can open our minds to it. He can give us an opportunity, but he can't force us to keep on walking with him. That is totally up to each of us individually. It doesn't matter what our parents or grandparents or friends believe or what they do. It's completely up to our individual choices and deeds. There's a great section here in the How to Pray booklet, also available to you for free. Well, I'd say it's more of a book, the How to Pray book, available to you for free at thetrumpet.com. And it's talking about how, like I mentioned, this walking with God is a two-way experience. It means two-way conversation. And this book says, good communication is not one-sided. Have you ever talked with someone who just likes to talk and talk but never listen? How did you feel? If we pray regularly but don't study very often, it's the same thing. We are doing all the talking. What does God think of that? As we study, we get to know the mind of God, how he thinks. This makes it easier to talk to him. We can talk about what he has taught us and rehearse it with him. If our prayers are getting stale and we are running out of things to say, maybe we are not listening enough. That is a wonderful practical point to help enhance our prayers. Praying about what we have studied. The Bible is full of magnificent truth. Every day we have the opportunity to study it for however long we choose to do so. Ideally, about an hour, if not more, if possible. It usually should be possible. But how much in that study is worth praying about? When we are learning more and more about the mind of God, when we're discovering so much truth, isn't that worth praying to God about and thanking him for? Praying to God to help you understand it even more deeply as you meditate upon it, as you study it the next time? Certainly that is worth doing, praying about what we study. There's really no end to the amount of thanks we could direct to God for all that he teaches us. Another big way to better walk with God, to be like a little child holding the hand of our Father and letting him lead us, is to put good things into our minds. That does, of course, already include Bible study. But how much can we really connect with God if we're constantly distracted by worldliness, by entertainment, by time wasters? Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So how do we think about those types of uplifting, positive things if all day long we bombard our minds with negativity? Yes, it is important to keep up with world news, with social events that are taking place in our countries. But isn't a whole lot of that extremely negative? Isn't a whole lot of that news contradictory to Philippians 4 verse 8? Don't we need to put into our minds something that will counteract that negativity? When we can study the Bible and know why our nations are suffering, why we might suffer individually from time to time, when we can understand the glorious purpose behind suffering, doesn't that at least help us to view it a lot more positively? If we at least have the vision behind the bad news, that is a way to fill our minds with something more positive. But we won't have that vision unless we really do put effort into studying the Bible, filling our minds with the uplifting words of the Bible to just remind us that, yes, while there might be negativity out there, it is all leading to something spectacular. And not just the Bible, there's plenty of Philadelphia Church of God content to consume. Things that we can put into our minds to help us be more positive, to help us think on lovely, honest, just, virtuous things. I mean, the list of things that the church produces to help us with this, to give us that kind of peace of mind in a chaotic world. It just really goes on and on. We have the Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine giving you God's perspective on world events, on the problems that plague mankind today. We've got the Royal Vision Magazine, a magazine of Christian living, teaching us biblical principles for how to live better lives. There's a True Education Magazine specifically geared toward young people. There is a really, really strong, terrifying attack on young people today. Pop culture is directed at them. They are given probably too much influence in our societies. And so often, Satan likes to appeal to the emotions of young people, to get them to take to the streets, to get them to break the law and cause trouble. And God's work reaches out to the young people. In fact, Mr. Armstrong said that young people in God's church are the most important group he can reach. Plenty of resources are directed at the young people, including the True Education Magazine. And you can find all these resources I'm talking about at thetrumpet.com, at pcg.church. There's also the Watch Jerusalem Magazine available at watchjerusalem.co.il. Beyond publications, there's, of course, the Key of David television program. And that's probably at the top of the list of all the content that the church puts out. That is just truly a unique program. You won't find anything else like the Key of David. Of course, all those websites I mentioned, even an entire pretty large library of music produced by the church. And you can find that at pcg.church too. But those are the positive things that we can put into our minds to help us obey this instruction of Philippians 4, verse 8, to think on the things that are positive and uplifting. And what a way to help us walk with God, to think like God. Just imagine what God's daily life must be like. There are billions of people on this planet. Every one of us sins every day. Many of us sin more than once in a day. And so God literally witnesses trillions of sins every day. And yes, it does make him really upset and angry to witness all of that. And he's sad that human beings have chosen to suffer like this. And yet, at the same time, there is no one happier than God. He has seen unspeakable things human beings abusing each other, abusing themselves. And yet his mentality is the perfect fulfillment of Philippians 4 verse 8. Don't you want to think that way? Don't you want to have sanity and peace in a crazy world? God has to help us with that. There is no other way we can think like that except for walking with God through prayer, through Bible study, through filling our minds with truth, learning to love God's law, which is perfect and does save us from so much of the pain that we would otherwise experience. Walking with God really would help everyone on the planet right now if people really did wake up and first thing they did was kneel down and pray. Do you think that rioters in America wake up, kneel down, and pray right away? Do you think they pray at all? Now, that's a hard question to ask. It's a hard question that we all need to answer. But right at the core of all the suffering on the earth is that people will not walk with God. Now, the world is cut off, but God would see those who decide to at least pray the best they know how. He would be moved by that to a certain extent. But so many have just forsaken that habit altogether and don't even think about turning to God when formulating public policy, political strategies. That is totally off limits. Even some of the best commentators out there seem to get offended if anyone brings up the Bible. I've seen quite a few clips like that where anyone who mentions the Bible immediately gets scorned, even by commentators who are pretty solid otherwise. God has been cast to the side. But how is that working out for people? When they walk on their own, when they take the broad way that leads to destruction, are they happy? Are they peaceful? Are they uplifted and encouraged while they read the news of what's going on out there? Do you really want to live like that? Or do you want to walk with God? Do you want to have access to power that will help you to soar spiritually? That will help you to soar mentally and emotionally? It all comes from walking with God. This is real spiritual power, and it is available to us. And to anyone who does humble himself and really earnestly seek answers to their disturbing questions in life, well, there's a good chance God will provide those answers. If only there were more people right now who would be searching for why they are in so much pain. But thankfully, for all of those people out there who are miserable, who are struggling with mental health and addictions of all kinds, who are angry without even knowing why, God will one day give them the chance to walk with Him. He will hold the hand of everyone in the world, and He'll show them the way. He will bless them as soon as they start to obey him. As soon as they desire to think like him, to speak like him, to act like him, to even have the same desires he has. God is right there. He's just waiting for human beings to realize that their way doesn't work. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 is a great reminder to us of what we have to do to truly walk with God. Or actually, I think it's 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16. No, it's 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. It says here, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You see, we have to renew this inward man day by day. We have to strengthen our spiritual relationship with God, walking with him more and more, better and better, without stumbling so much. Every single day, crying out to God in prayer, listening to him through study, fasting on occasion to humble ourselves before him even more, meditating on his truth. And the more we walk with God, the happier we will be. That is a fact, and we can look forward to the day when every human being will choose to walk with God. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.